before battles. So, how many Israelites that getting out from Egypt? So, if we do the math, they're talking about every family that, like today, that we have the family is about four people in a family. Then if talking about over 600,000 in male, over 20 years old, if they all have family, then we are talking about over 2 million of people that getting out from Egypt. Okay. That we might have a question is about, isn't it true? Right? So today, when we preach that we have the sound system that we can project our voice, right? But at that time, talking about Moses, they're going to talk, and then two million people can listen to it. Is that true? So those are all the questions that maybe we're going to have in Numbers. But the main theme of the book of Numbers is not just talking about census. Broadly speaking, Numbers tells us a story. Now the Lord, the covenant God of the Israelites, provides them with final instruction for preparing to march into the land he has sworn to give to them. After they came out from Egypt, they stayed at the Mount Sinai for about 1 year. Okay, so then now it is ready to march. It is ready to go on to take the promised land. They could do so with confidence because the Lord himself would be going along in their midst. But the adult Israelites of the Exodus generation continued to grumble and complain as they had done in the book of Exodus. Ultimately, they reject the Lord and the leaders he appointed, turn to other gods and cause the leaders themselves to commit gross sin. Now gross sin is just something that is not listen to God, not believe in God. That is our gross sin. The Lord punished them, but also respond repeatedly with mercy, refusing to treat people as a whole as their sin deserve. So finally, after the Exodus generation has died out, the Lord prepared the next generation of Israelites to enter the promised land and live there as his covenant people. In fact, the main theme of the book of Numbers is talking about the life of Israelites in the wilderness in that 38 years. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 11 to 12, on the 20th day of the second month of the second year, the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle of the covenant law. Then the Israelites set out from the desert of Sinai and traveled from place to place until the cloud came to the rest in the desert of Paran. Now, verse 11 and 12 of chapter 10 in the book of Numbers tell us the Israelites leave Sinai heading to the desert of Paran. Now, the desert of Paran, basically, the desert of Paran is around this area. Okay, that is just south of the promised land. There is just another 10 days, then they can go into the promised land. So when they arrive at the desert of Paran, then the next step is the promised land. So it's talking about 10 days. But end up, it took them 38 years to get into the promised land. It is because when the first time they get into the desert of Paran, then they suggested to send some men to spy out the land of Canaan. As a result, they sent 12 men, one from each tribe, to do the job. They entered Canaan from south and go all the way up north. So this is the route. They go from the south and go all the way up north. Then it took them 40 days, okay, to complete a return trip. They bring back a cluster of grapes, pomegranates and figs. They reported to Moses and the whole congregation in the desert of Paran. They told them, "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit." But on the other hand, they reported to the congregation about the man they saw. But the man who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." Now, there is nothing wrong about their reporting skill. Okay, they gave the pros and cons. And this is normal, because when we are going to make a decision, we laid out all the pros and cons beforehand. We laid out all the probability right before us. Okay, if I'm going to do this, what am I going to gain? If I'm going to do this, well, what am I going to lose? Or what is the opportunity cost if I choose to do A rather than B? So we go through this process before we make any decision. Okay. So from up to now, okay, what the Israelites did was correct. But then the 10 spies look like they have made a decision, talking to the people and try to get the rest stand on their side. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devoured those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshopper in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." They chose not to battle. They chose to go back to Egypt. Eventually, they got punished for staying in the wilderness for another 38 years. I think this is the most significant story in the book of Numbers. Now, without this story, the book of Numbers would be shortened to have only 14 chapters, not 36 chapters, because the other 22 chapters are all talking about the 30 years in the wilderness. So if they got into the promised land at the first try, okay, then we save a lot of time to read the Bible. Right. Have you found that we are repeating the same story today? A lot of times we want blessings, but not battles. But I'm telling you, no battles, no blessings. After Israelite delivered from Egypt, do you know how many battles that they went through? Give it a guess, how many battles that they went through right after Egypt, then going through the whole 40 years in the wilderness, how many battles that they had been in? Any number? 10. Okay. Any other guess? 400. That might be too much. Now, 10, that Roger, that gets the first part right, okay? Because they ran through 10 battles from Egypt to Mount Sinai, and then another 40 battles in the 38 years in the wilderness before they got the promised land. Now, when we talk about battles, we know there is a lot of battles in the book of Joshua, right? But it looks like there's nothing talking about battles in Numbers. It is because you can see the word of armies, soldiers, so you know it is talking about battle. So armies, soldiers that you will see in the book of Joshua, but you don't see any word like this in the book of Numbers. Okay. How can we tell they went through battles in Numbers? So when we look at chapter 33 of the book of Numbers, you can see a word that repeated 40 times. Let's take a look at the Numbers, chapter 33, verse 5. The Israelites left Ramesses and camped it at Shugat. The same pattern repeated 40 times in chapter 33. So the word camped is the hint. So today we go camping, right? At the beginning of the year, we reserve the campsite online through the Recreation and Parks Ontario. Then we can just mark down, okay, this is the date and this is the site that we want to go for. Then when the day comes, we arrive at the campsite and the campsite is already vacant. So we don't have to fight for it. But the word camped in the Bible not only means that they stay there, but also means they have to fight for it. It is because before they got there, there are people living there already. So in order to get the piece of land, they got to battle to drive out the inhabitants. Therefore, battling is not something new for Israelites. So at a time when they get onto the desert of Paran, they went through so many battles already. Okay. But it is possible that the first 10 battles were easy, okay? So they didn't refuse to fight. But this time, they are facing with giants. They don't have the confidence of winning the battle, so they refuse to fight. Even though they know that the land flows with milk and honey, they are afraid of they would get killed by the enemy before they can enjoy. So they decided to turn around, not going to fight. They lost the chance of enjoying all the delicious agricultural completely. No battles, no blessings. Blessings is not necessarily something that we can measure monetarily, okay? Or it doesn't mean you are blessed only if you won. The experience that you gain during the battle is a blessing as well. So no matter you win or you lose, the experience that you have gained to help you to do better next time is a blessing. Something that is beneficiary to you is a blessing already. Another question to you. Do you know who is the richest person in the world today? Anyone knows? Who is he? Huh? Jeff Bezos. Who is Jeff Bezos? Amazon CEO, right? Yeah, he is the founder and the CEO of Amazon. Before Jeff Bezos started his business as Amazon, okay, he was working in finance in New York City. So he said, I came across the fact that web usage was growing at 2,300% per year. I've never seen or heard of anything that grew that fast, and the idea of building an online bookstore with millions of titles, something that simply couldn't exist in the physical world. And he found that it is so exciting to him. So he shared his idea to his wife and to his boss. His wife told him to go for it. Yeah, let's do it, right? But not everyone was on board. Now, Bezos took a walk with his boss through Central Park. And his boss told him, wow, it sounds like a really good idea, but it would be an even better idea for somebody who didn't already have a good career. This means that Bezos' boss would not suggest Jeff to take the risk. So end up, Jeff bites the bullet, gave up his career, and started Amazon. No battles, no blessing. If he didn't go for it, he could not be the world's richest man today. And I believe that the path that he went through was not easy. In order to build up the Amazon empire, I believe Jeff had gone through a lot of big or small battles. He lost in some of the battles, but the experience that he gained to make him stronger. This is blessing. In the book of Numbers, there are two censuses in it. The purpose of the first census is preparing an army to fight. So in Numbers chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, take a census of the whole Israelite community by their clans and families, listing every man by name one by one. You and Aaron are to count according to their divisions all the men in Israel who are 20 years old and more and able to serve in the army. This is the scripture that I shared in November here. Okay. Then the purpose of the second census is again building up an army to fight plus get the share of the land. Take a census of the whole Israelite community by families. All those 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army of Israelite. So this part, it matched the first census. Then the second part come. The Lord said to Moses, the land is to be allotted to them as an inheritance based on the number of names. To a larger group, give a larger inheritance, and to a smaller group, a smaller one. Each is to receive its inheritance according to the number of those listed. Now, the first census was taken at the time leaving Sinai. At that time, they were not ready to get into the promised land yet. Okay? The most important part was battling. So God didn't mention anything about the piece of land at the first census. But the second census was sticking right before getting into the promised land. Yes, this piece of land is prepared for Israelite, but they still have to fight for it. As we know that they would get the land because God has already told them how to allot the land based on the tribes. That's why the second time that God is already telling them, for sure you're going to get the piece of land. And once you get this piece of land, this is how you are going to allot it based on the groups. We decide to fight or not to fight is determined by different factors. The number one factor is the outcome. So if the outcome is appealing, it is a good reason to go for it. The number two factor is a process, which means how difficult to go through it. Then we wait between the outcome and the process to see does it worthwhile to do it. Now the first and second generation of Israelites are facing the same situation. They were both ready to get into the promised land. The only difference is they get into the promised land from the south or from the east. The outcome of the battle for both the first and second generation is appealing. This is a piece of land flowing with milk and honey. So if just based on the outcome, for sure, this is a goal. Then now, let's look at factor number two. Then we look at about the process now. They had to fight with the giant in the battles. The first generation of the Israelites waited between the outcome, the process, and found that didn't worth it. Caleb and Joshua suggested to go ahead to fight for the piece of land because the Lord is with them. They forgot about how God helped them to fight along the path from Sinai to the desert of Paran. At that moment, all they saw were the giants. They refused to fight and decided to turn around. But the second generation is now facing exactly the same situation. They're facing giants as well. They didn't send spies to go check it out because they know that there are giants in Canaan from the first generation. The Lord strengthened their heart by telling them how to allot the land. What does it mean? It means that for sure they will get the land. So they waited because between the outcome and the process, the outcome is good and the process is easy because God is with them. Therefore, they go for it. And the first generation refused to battle. As a result, they got punishment. The second generation battled, and they are blessed. In our real life, we are making decisions all the time. Not necessary battles that we are talking today is really go up to fight for a war, to fight for your country. But every time when you are going to make a decision, that is a battle. Some of the decisions are easy to make, but some of them are not. How are we going to decide? The first thing is talking about God's will. Now, by reading the Bible, we know more about God. We know God wants us to do what God does not want us to do. So at a time, if you want to go the buy lottery to give a try, to see if you can just win the lottery and get millions of dollars, then you don't need to pray for God. To pray to God for permission, because you already know that God doesn't want us to do that. So something that you know this is right or wrong just by reading the Bible, by with the knowledge of the Bible that you know about what God wants you to do, okay, and then you just follow what is God's will. The second thing is we count the blessings. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30, the Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your every eyes. We have had so many battles before. No matter we won or lost before, today we still alive. We have to admit that God has been with us to help us go through all the obstacles before. God is not going to abandon you this time. That you have faith in our Lord. That we know that Lord is always with you. The third thing that we have to do is we let him lead. To fight or not to fight sometimes is a difficult decision to make. It is because we don't see the whole picture, right? What we can do is we can just predict the outcome. Okay? We can calculate the opportunity cost to estimate the outcome. Okay? But this is all our guess only. Okay? If we don't get to fight, you never know what is going to happen. But I'm not telling you that, well, you just fight for everything. No. Okay? Something that is within God's will, then you can go for it. Okay? But the most important thing is because of God knows everything. So you let him lead the way. Just as the lyric in the hymn that we just sing, I'm not alone, you will go before me, you will never leave me. That's exactly what it is. Now, when we go back to look at the Israelites, it is God's will to have Israelites to get into the promised land. It is a blessing for Israelites delivered from Egypt to finish, the 400 years of slavery. Once they got out of Egypt, God had already helping them to fight for so many small and big battles. The second generation of the Israelites lets God lead the way, and we can see they got into the promised land. So once again, battles and blessings will be with us forever. Okay? Sometimes, if you are lucky, battles, blessing, done. Then another battle comes and blessing. But the world is not so perfect. Okay? It can be battle, battle, blessing. Battle, 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 then blessing. Right? Many situations that will happen. But I encourage you, don't fear for battles. Let our Lord to lead your fight. With the past experience, you know that God will be always with you, and most importantly, you are fighting for God's will. As I remember, they're talking about 5 years ago, at the year of 2013, I went into the classroom in seminary. And then on that day, that is the first class, the first day I got into the seminary, and there is homework due already. So it means that when you prepare for the class, then you got to read ahead and then start doing homework and hand it in the first day of the class. At that date, I find that, because I have been out in school for over 20 years already. So now I'm going to pick up a book to study and go through the papers and write the exams. Then at the first day of the seminary, I thought, that is another 4 years to go. Every day will be like this. That will be so terrible, right? Then at that time, but because I know that this is God's will, that He sent me to the seminary, that someday He is going to use me, right? So, and I know that for the day, for so many years that pass, I'm still here, okay? I believe God will lead my way. Then, so after 4 years seminary, okay, then finally that I finished it last year. So no battles, no blessings. If I was not going to battle 4 years ago, okay, today I'm not here to share the message of God. This is the blessing, okay, through me that I can bless the others. And to me, before I share the message to you, I am the one to learn the most, right, start from there. So battles and blessings, that is always come with us along in our life. Just no fear for battles, because God will lead us for it. Let us bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today's message, that a lot of time we have a lot of complaints that when our life is not easy or when our life is difficult. At the time when we are in a battle, that the first thing we do is we forgot about your blessings from before. That's why we complain about it. And a lot of times that we fear for battle because we don't want to step out of our comfort zone, that we just want to be comfortable in the area that what we are in. So we just want to have blessings. But today you tell us that no battles, no blessings. The only blessings that we can get is after we go through the battles, then we know that you are with us. And then we have a closer relationship with you. It's just like we walk together, that we walk together closely. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you gave us from before. And we ask you to encourage us that to go through the battles that is coming along on our life. And we are looking forward to work with you and ask you to lead the way, and we enjoy the blessings from you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Lam, for the message. And may we all rise for the last song. Broken and scattered in the mercy.